After 8 weeks, the jury in the Jobstown false imprisonment trial has begun its deliberations. Now, in her closing speech today, Judge Melanie Greely urged them to be fearless and to put aside strong views or sympathy in relation to the political climate that led to the water charges protest, which has been at the centre of the trial. And our courts reporter, Vivian Traynor, joins me now. It's been a lengthy trial, 8 weeks, and would it be fair to say a concise and brief enough closing from the judge?
I suppose, considering the length of the trial, but it did go on for several hours, and towards the end she did go through what she described as best she could, a summary of the evidence. But this morning she started off by saying to the jury that she didn't expect them to be deaf or blind to the political background or the emotion generated by the whole debate on water charges. She said indeed they may feel a natural sympathy for the accused men's predicament. She may know some of them from their political activities. They may recognise the prosecution witnesses and they may like or dislike them. She said they may also be concerned about the consequences of any decision they make. But she said she urged them in their decision making to be fearless and to put aside sympathy or strong views on the political climate that led up to the protest. She said you should approach it in an analytical and dispassionate manner. And she said the jury has to analyse the evidence in relation to each of the accused on its own merit and to seek to identify their individual state of mind and their intent that day. And the view that they form against one accused should not influence their view against the others. She reminded them again that none of the people on trial are charged with violence. And none is responsible for the conduct of others not on trial who acted violently on that day. But she did say that it would be utterly wrong to suggest that the violence of others was not a relevant circumstance of the case.
What did she have to say about constitutional rights, the right to liberty and also the right to peaceful protest?
Yeah, well, she said that as citizens of this republic, Joan Burton and Karen O'Connell had a constitutional right to personal liberty and were entitled to come and go as they pleased. Also, the six men on trial had a right to protest peacefully and express opposition, even anger over water charges. And she said these rights were not competing rights. They coexist in law, and the law largely succeeds in ensuring this. She said the right to protest, even if exercised peacefully, cannot be at the expense of personal liberty. And she told the jury that only peaceful assembly is protected by law. The right to peaceful assembly is not lost by sporadic violence if the individual people concerned remain peaceful in their actions and in their intentions.
But is there a question over this trial on whether the protest was peaceful or not?
Yeah, but she said this will be a critical aspect of the jury's decision making. They'll have to decide whether or not this protest was peaceful. And she said if the violence was more than sporadic, she explained to them that sporadic violence can't make an otherwise peaceful protest unlawful. But if the violence was more than sporadic, if it was maintained throughout the day, then the protest could not have been peaceful. And she said the jury mustn't confuse anger and hostility with violence, but that the accused and their counsel simply describing the protest as peaceful was not good enough. The mere fact of saying something is peaceful doesn't make it peaceful. They're going to have to look at the evidence and decide for themselves. And she said if the jury concludes that the protest was peaceful, then it can assess the reaction of the Gardaí on the day and answer a number of questions about how the Gardaí handled the protest on the day. If they conclude that it was not peaceful at all, they must view the Gardaí conduct in that context.
And she concluded, you said she gave a summary of the evidence, a considerable amount of evidence, much Garda evidence, CCTV evidence and so on over a number of weeks. So what did she say in relation to some of that evidence?
Well, she's saying that the video evidence is a considerable component in this case, but they must also have regard to the evidence, the testimony of witnesses. They have to consider aspects of the Garda evidence where there were misstatements or inconsistencies with what Gardaí said in their statements and what they said in the witness box. She also at an earlier stage in her charge said that there were the Garda evidence and statements had been contradicted by the video evidence in this trial, and that it was up to the jury and a matter for the jury to consider what impact that would have on the issues that they have to decide. And again, referring to the Garda evidence and these inconsistencies in the Garda evidence, as she said, these would raise questions that the jury could look at. Were they calculated to cast aspersions on Paul Murphy? Is this the establishment coming down on Paul Murphy or others for orchestrating a successful campaign against water charges? And did they agree that this is what it was all about? And if they were inclined to agree with that, then was he being prosecuted not for what he did were for who he is? And then does that extend to the other people on trial? Because while two of the others were county councillors who would be known locally, wouldn't have a national profile, the remaining three were ordinary citizens. So she said, so how far does that argument actually go?
Did she, Vivian, define the offence of false imprisonment for them?
Yeah, she said the jury would have to be, and they've heard this several times about this offence of false imprisonment and the ingredients that are essential to it. She said the jury would have to satisfy itself that the ingredients essential for false imprisonment were there on the day, and reminding them again that the restraint must be total when false imprisonment is concerned, that somebody can't have any avenue of escape or reasonable avenue of escape. And it had been suggested, she reminded the jury again during the trial, that they could have got out of the car, perhaps could have walked away, or that the car, the second car of the car, could have reversed out of the area. So these were questions for the jury to answer. Were they reasonable escape routes? She said if they decided the restraint was total, the jury must decide if the defendants participated in imposing that restraint and if they did so intentionally. If they concluded it wasn't intentional, then they must acquit. And if they concluded it was intentional, it was immaterial if it came about in the context of a political protest.
So then they started their deliberations. What time was that at, Vivian?
That was just after 3 o'clock, Mary, and then some legal issues have arisen, and the jury was told then just after 4 o'clock that they could go home for the evening and they can resume their deliberations at 2 o'clock tomorrow, because there will be some legal matters to be discussed in the morning.
Vivian Traynor at the Circuit Criminal Court, thank you very much. Coming up to 4:45.